Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. Holy Spirit, we need you and we want you. Holy Spirit, teach us and teach us to put down deep, strong roots. Help us, Holy Spirit, in this season. Build us to be able to stand in the hour that is ahead of us. Make us strong, Holy Spirit, and give us teachable hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I just pretty well have a teaching this morning. Is that okay? I just found when I was asked to prepare this scripture in 2 Peter 1, kept coming back. And so I said, okay, Lord, you've got to show me what it is in here you're after. And he always does. So the title of the message is Rock Solid Faith. So let me ask you today, are you building on the solid rock or are you building on swampy land? Are you building on solid rock or are you building on soft land, swampy land, land that hasn't settled, that it can hold the weight of a building? We're living in such turmoil and stress in this hour. Just look around. Jack watches the news and that's great, but I have to walk out of the room, I find, because it's coming from all directions. And it doesn't help to settle. And so it's like, I go before the Lord and I said, Lord, how do we handle all this that's incoming mail? How do we handle all this? Because I don't know about you, but I want to stay in a place of peace and I want to function out of a place of rest. And you said it, if I had been in turmoil or had lost my confidence or had been in a place of unrest, it would be hard to just look into the future because you want to pull your head in and protect. And so I want to stay in a place of rest. I want to stay in a place of hope. I want to stay in a place of, okay, God, what are you doing next? What are you up to? Because God's always moving. We're called to stand strong in this hour, right? We have to continue to build our own house. But also, I at times may have to help a brother and a sister build their house just to build them up in their faith, right? Can you stand in the storms of life right now? Can you stand? Are you strong? Because storms are going to come. You know this scripture and I know it well. Luke 6:47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. We're living in a season where we really need to build our faith so that it's strong. We are God's building. And how we build on the foundation of salvation is very important. God has done his part in offering us his Son, dying for us, rising from the dead for us, and then filling us with his Holy Spirit. He's done his part. That was his part. And he even went so far as to walk out before us how to have compassion. How to care for ethnic groups in and around us that we don't understand. He took care of the Samaritans, right? He healed the sick. Look at the woman with the issue of the blood. She was defiled. How do we handle a person who's defiled? Do we just walk away? He showed us all that so that we could do the same thing. If we wonder how we're to deal with the ethnic groups that are now around us in Windsor, we just need to look at what Jesus did. Amen? We need to walk as he walked. He loved completely, so completely that he laid down his life. He did his part, but we also have to do our part. It's twofold. In 1 Peter, he was addressing all the persecution that was coming their way. He was addressing the tribulation, the turmoil. Life was hard, and so he was encouraging that church. He was bolstering their strength, their faith. In 2 Peter, he begins to address, again, the strength of the believers. He begins to address all of the other doctrines, not even doctrines, deceptions that are starting to come in, like Gnosticism and just different false teachings that are coming in to shake the church so badly that it can't stand. Now remember, the man that's teaching here and writing the letters is the man that had a big mouth, right? Peter was always there with something to say. But this man has been so tempered by what he's about to teach, so changed, so transformed, and become such a lover of the Lord that his word has a lot of weight. When you've been transformed by the Holy Spirit as Peter had and become the kind of man that Peter had become, you can give a message. And so in light of that, I'm going to read through this scripture, and then later on I'm going to put in some other translations. So 2 Peter 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things. Would you say all things? All things. Not just a little bit, all. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither lack these things, you will neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who was cleansed from his old, glasses need to come on. All right, let me read that again. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For as an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So number one, the foundation needs to be laid properly. So we all understand we've been saved by grace, right? And we are no longer sinners. Number two, our old nature is dead. Right? We have a new nature. Jesus gave us that new nature. All of us are new creations in Christ. How many of you have heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? The tower is 183 feet and 3 inches high. The tower began to lean during construction in the 12th century due to the soft ground which could not properly support the structure's weight. It worsened through the completion of the construction in the 14th century. By 1990, the tilt had reached 5.5 degrees. They continue to work on it to stabilize it to this day. But the word, you have to check what the meaning of words are, right? Meanings of words are very important. Pisa actually means marshy ground. It's famous because it leans. It's said that every year it leans 1/20th of an inch more. It's now 17 feet off out of plumb. Isn't that something? So in some of the pictures I looked at, they've put huge weights on the other side so it won't fall over. The same will happen to us. We're going to go off plumb, you and I as believers, if we don't understand the word, walk in the word, apply the word, and we get a lot of mixture in there. We're going to go off plumb. And it might start just a tiny bit, but it starts to go. Right? We don't want that. I thought that was an interesting fact. What do you want your life to look like? It's all about growth. So verse 2 in the Amplified reads a little even more clearly. May grace, God's favor, and peace. And we need peace right now. You know, some of us have circumstances where we have loved ones that are sick and we're hearing about sick, you know, people that are sick. And it's like, Lord, it's all around us, family members, friends. So you need peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. That's what peace means. So when I say, I bless you, peace to you, I'm saying to you, you know, perfect well-being, so health, all necessary good, may it come to you. Spiritual prosperity, you may you grow in the Lord. And freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. There are moral conflicts all around us, everywhere, and everything. And our morals are challenged constantly. You know, and after a while you think, you know, you want to watch a good show? The language? I thought, we don't use that language in our house, and I'm not letting it in through a dumb TV set. Click. So right now we need his grace to stand. 1 Peter 2, 2-3 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you are not in the word, you are not going to grow. Your sermon on a Sunday morning is not going to cut it. It just isn't. Come on, it will not do it. I can go to 10 conferences, 20 conferences, and make lots of notes, but unless I sit with this, I'm not going to grow inside. Because you'll see, it's such a key part of what needs to be done. So let me ask you another question. Are you growing up or are you growing older? You are, Fern, I know that. Growth is a normal part of life. We watch our children, you know, when we're young couples, we have children, you know, we watch them sit up, then we watch them crawl, and and take their first steps. And, you know, it's all so exciting to see what they're doing. And then their first word, whether it's mama or dada, you know, the competition between the parents, going to say my name first, you know, all of that stuff. And we watch them grow and we're excited and we get vision for their future and what we hope they'll be and what the Lord's spoken into our hearts for them and how we can nurture them to be that. But our Christian life starts exactly the same way. We're born into the kingdom as babies. It's our new birth. But then by reading the word, by worshiping, by being in his presence with other believers, by getting solid teaching, by seeking his face, we begin to mature. We begin to grow. And we need to grow. Your spiritual growth has nothing to do with your chronological age. Charles Spurgeon said, there are children in the church of God who are over 70 years old. And they're children. They've been in church all their lives. They've never applied the word. They just, well, I go to church. And they're babies. Sometimes new believers, because of their hunger for the Lord, grow in maturity way past those that have been there a long time. So, hunger. We want hunger. Transformation happens through the renewing of our mind. One promise that I continue to stand on and make my own to change my thinking, because we've believed for healing in this house for such a long time. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I'm healed. Right? And if I take communion, I'm partaking of the healing that my body needs, the youth my body needs, the health my body needs, right? And there's more to it. And I keep going, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. There's more. I've got to see. And so I keep pressing because I want my faith in the area of healing to become so strong. Amen? I want to lay hands on the sick that they're healed. I want to raise the dead. We're supposed to be able to do this. And it's all inside of us. So it's like, Lord, it's got to come out. It's got to come out. I'm tired of just being a pew sitter, even as a pastor. It's got to come out. All those prophetic words that were accurate prophetic words, they have to be fulfilled. They have to be. And Lord, I want to see them fulfilled in my lifetime. And I refuse to go home until I see it. How's that? So there's got to be a hunger. I'm not going to read this whole scripture because the time's just flying. But in Philippians 3, Paul makes this statement here. I'm going to just read part of it. I got to read the whole thing. It's so good. But more than that, I count everything as a loss compared to the privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and of growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him, a joy unequaled. For his sake, I have lost everything, and I consider it all garbage that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, believing and relying on him, not having any righteousness of my own derived from my own obedience to the law and its rituals, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, and this so that I may know him, experientially becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him and understanding the remarkable wonders of this person more completely. Can you hear the cry in him? And in the same way, experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, and that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did, so that I may attain the resurrection that will raise me up from the dead. He's not talking about dying. He wants to be resurrected still while he's in this life. It's a whole different place of walking. So we need to build a spiritually strong house so that when the storms come, we can stand and help others. So let's go on, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So it begins with salvation, and we all receive faith. Scripture says we receive a measure of faith, all of us. Faith is a gift from God for us. And the just live by faith. So as I exercise my faith, when I pray for somebody, when I believe for something, when I read the word and all of a sudden I take it in, my faith starts to grow. When I take on a project in Haiti, in Ghana, you know, I think of how faith had to rise in me. I was sharing with Ken Post how we began when they started encroaching on our land. And they said, you've got to build a wall around 4.5 acres. And we had no money. And we had just received 40 orphans. And it's like, Lord, how do we do this? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, just begin. I said, all right, I trust you. We'll just begin. And we began. We did the corners first. And then we did the bottom, the foundation. And then we did the first row and the second till it was 9 feet high. And when it was all done, I said, God, how did we do this? But it was faith that got activated. And every time we had finances, we just send them over, get them out there to do a few more rows. That's a high wall around that piece of property with big gates. And unless you are allowed in, you don't get in there. And so it's faith. We stir our faith up, right? We are told in the Amplified, for this very reason, apply your diligence, so diligence, to divine promises. Make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence. And in moral excellence, knowledge, which is insight and understanding. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in self-control, steadfastness. And in your steadfastness, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly affection. And in your brotherly affection, develop love. That is, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and do things for their benefit. So God's done his part. He's given us salvation. But this part is ours. This is like a ladder that he's talking about. And sometimes what we want to do is, I'll just do this one. I'll just do this one. I don't want to do that one. But God wants to develop in us a strength, a faith, to be able to stand. Second Peter 1:7, out of your faith will emerge goodness. Now this is the Passion Translation. Out of your faith will emerge goodness. And out of goodness will emerge understanding of God. And out of understanding of God will emerge inner strength or self-control. And out of inner strength will emerge patient endurance. And out of patient endurance will emerge godliness. And out of godliness will emerge mercy towards your brothers and sisters. And out of mercy will emerge love. These are stepping stones. It begins with faith, but then it begins, we have to add to it. And many people stay very immature in the Lord because they've never taken those steps. Peter makes it very clear, giving all diligence, which means make every possible effort. Extensively exert yourselves. Careful, persistent work. The word persistent means to continue firmly or obstinately in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And I'm not talking about salvation. That's a free gift. That's your foundation. But everything else is built on top of that, is done through the Holy Spirit and by our surrender, we sang about it, our submission, our willingness. So if I'm in a very difficult situation and I'm in a season, how I walk this out, I know I'm in a season of walking out some of these steps on a level I've never had to. And God is placing inside of me, or trying to place inside of me, steadfast endurance. Come on. Day after day after day. Perseverance. Joy. It's not even on the list. Joy. Eyes on the future. What are you building in me in this season that I'm going to need for the season ahead? Because I know I'm not finished. No shadow of a doubt, but he's, and I've prayed and said to the Lord, Lord, do not let me miss this season. It would be so easy just to get focused on just what I'm doing right now instead of all the wonderful things that I'd like to do overseas and all the rest of it. I'd like to get stuck sometimes. I can't get stuck. I have to begin to build these, and I've done it different seasons in my life, but I'm doing it again on a much deeper level. And it's building inside of me of the Lord, which I never had. So when we hit crisis situations, it would be easy to get into self-pity. Oh, woe is me. Doesn't anybody care? Where's all my help? I'll just watch TV or get on my computer. No, no. Jack can tell you, I spend a lot of time in my office because I don't want to miss what God's trying to put in here. Right now, that's him. He's in here. He's in here. He came in seed form. But everything that he is as a mature Lord, the head is mature. He wants me to be matured. He wants you to be mature. And that takes some time. Right? So giving all diligence. This doesn't come on its own. Just, hello, here I am. Just drop it on me. It doesn't come this way. It comes by when I hit a hard spot, instead of responding in my flesh, and sometimes I do, but then going to the Lord, say, Lord, how do I do this? How do I speak this out? How do I get around this situation? Show me how to do this. Sanctification is teamwork. He does his part, but we do our part. It isn't just leaning back and going for a ride. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with awe in his presence. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The workout part is in us. You know, it's like somebody who wants to have a really fit body. If they don't work out, right, Brandy? There's no fancy body. You got to work out. If I get sick and the doctor tells me I need surgery, the doctor does the surgery, but I have to rest, take the prescriptions, and apply to myself what he's told me to do to get better. So this is no different. So there are seven graces listed, and we've already read through them, but that's our building material. Virtue, which is moral excellence, goodness, integrity, which is almost non-existent, virtues of courage, nobleness, and moral valor. Plain and simple, doing what's right. He has given us his righteousness. So if we're in a work situation and we're asked to do something that's not quite up to snuff, you know, with finances or whatever, no, we have to have integrity. The second one's knowledge. It's more than intellectual perception. It's an experience of Christ and the Holy Spirit that results in transformation. Only true intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ will counteract the lust of the world, the religious system, the humanistic teaching, the mixture that's everywhere. So intimacy with the Lord, seeing him face to face, hearing from him on a daily basis, getting revelation in the word from him is the knowledge that we need. Self-control, oh my, that's a big one. It's a Greek word, I'm not even going to go into. Hold oneself together. It's a discipline. It's an inner strength, self-control. Can we say no when everything is trying to seduce and entice? Perseverance, patient endurance. Brotherly kindness, it's Philadelphia, Book of Revelations. Mercy towards our brothers and sisters. And the last one is love, the agape love of Christ. And these, as we begin with them, form Christ in us or bring out the Christ in us that's inside of us. One will lead to another. You can't just choose the one you want. He's bringing us to maturity. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Since, I'm going to read in another translation again, since these virtues are already planted deep within you, and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. But if anyone lacks these things, he is blind and constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith and forgetting his innocence, for his past sins have been washed away. Abound. I have so much that I overflow. That's how God wants us to be. I have so much that I overflow with faith. I overflow with mercy. I overflow with all of these building blocks, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, knowledge, agape love. And then we're to nourish others. You know, the fruit on our vine is for others. You will never be unfruitful. It's an ever-expanding life of Christ in us, but it happens by being attached to the vine, John 15. In the Old Testament, we have an example in closing, and it's Joseph. What an example. The years he spent in prison, prophetic words. God, can you imagine what he must have felt like in prison? Where's the prophetic words? He could have wasted away in self-pity, frustration, anger, feeling worthless. You know, if he had lost his vision when the prophetic words came and the interpretation needed to be done, Could he have done it if he was sitting in a puddle? Absolutely not. But the Lord formed this man in the middle of the trial he was in. And when the time was right, he stepped into the second highest position in the nation, where he ended up feeding other nations with wisdom, with food, with counsel. Everything that had been formed in him in the prison he was in was now being used for the good of others. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the wall. He was just flowing out. And even when he had to, when he met his family for the first time, can you imagine how he could have felt with those brothers, but didn't, because God had dealt with him. He poured out to them. He loved on them. He loved on his father. And that's what God's trying to do with us in this hour. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're called to walk in his kingdom. But there's so much in that kingdom that we don't understand. And we need to learn. And we need to learn quickly. Amen? It's time, church. So you have your communion elements. Yeah, the ushers are walking around if you didn't get communion elements. I know when we're in the prayer room on Tuesdays and on Wednesday nights, one of the strongest cries in us is for spiritual hunger to be restored. That we would get hungry again. We need to be hungry again, church, for more of him. Yes, we could sit here and think, well, I'm going to heaven. No. Yeah, I'm going to heaven, so are you. But there's a world out there that's devastated, that doesn't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. And the more the news comes out, which that's another whole story, whatever it is, won't go any further than that, but it's partial news, let's put it nicely. There's so much more behind all of that. We have to know how to help and how to love people and how to walk them through the distress they're in. You and I may be able to walk through the center of this in absolute peace. But many can't. And they're devastated. And they're full of fear. Yet we have the answer. So let's get hungry. Let's get real hungry. So Lord, as we take of the communion this morning, Jesus, you provided everything for us, absolutely everything. There's nothing that got left undone. Your word is full of promises. Your word, Lord, builds into us who we need to be. Your word, Lord, is the truth, and it has all the answers. Lord, every answer to every situation, every world crisis, Lord, it is in your word. Your word develops the nature of Jesus in us. We have divine nature inside of us. The word begins to build that. So, Lord, help us to get hungry. Help us to get hungry for you, Lord. And this morning as we partake, Father, I pray for an infusion of hunger into us, that we will begin to get into that word and begin to let you do what you're trying to do in us and not pull away, that we would become mature in you. So, Lord, thank you for your body. Let's all receive. Lord, the fact that we have divine nature living within us, the fact that Jesus Christ, who dwells within us, created the universe, that power is inside of us. That power that's still creating, the, as every day unfolds, he's still creating. That power dwells in us. Your power, your dunamis, your dynamite. When we received the Holy Spirit, you came in. It's not a mild thing. It's not a little thing. Lord, the God of creation lives within us. His divine power was given to us. Father, forgive us for the times we make you so little and we make the devil so big. Forgive us for the times our flesh stops us from going where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. Forgive us, Lord. We thank you for the blood that washed away our sin nature and takes care of every one of our failures. Thank you, Lord, that we're in covenant with you and you never let us go. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you to read this scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you can, read it in different translations and sit with it and say, Lord, where am I in my journey? Have you formed integrity in me? Am I walking in self-control? And if I'm not, Lord, then Lord, show me where I repent and build in me what needs to be built. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.